Windy City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
And Miller Lite. Triple Hops Brewed Miller Lite. Taste greatness. Listening to the Windy City Queer Cast, show number 430. I'm Amy Matheny, and does the end of market days mean the end of summer? Think on that. I think not. I think we still have a couple of more months of summer because it's still warm here in October. Then it all goes to hell in a handbag. But a great weekend had by all, little rain here and there, but we survived another market days. I cannot believe how many market days there have been in the city of Chicago that I have been a part of, and that festival has grown so much that now mostly my straight friends go to market days and not even all my gay friends go. Big weekend, Tourism Vancouver in town because they are getting people to sign up for their big competition where you can go to tourismvancouver.com and enter to win. All you have to do is enter. It's free. And maybe you will win a trip to Vancouver to ski and dine and have so much fun in one of the most amazing cities I've ever been to and one of the most amazing cities on the globe. Vancouver is exquisite and breathtaking. Love it, love it, love it. And great to have the gangs from Tourism Vancouver here for Market Days because I met all of them last year. So that marks the end of a year. Also, it marks the end of a year since I was on a six-week jury, which was last summer, and most of my summer was filled up with being on jury duty, and this year has been much, much different and filled with something different, but not being on a trial. So I am grateful for that. You know, I really love the weather that we've been having. I love these more temperate days, and we really have had so much rain that the rest of the company is quite envious of us, I know, especially my family down in the South, and I don't know why, but we have had we've had a very wet summer. No pun intended. Don't think dirty thoughts, my friends. But you know, it's green and lush and we live in the greatest city in the US, I have to say. It's just amazing, our city of Chicago. And so summer is not done. There's still plenty to see and do. There are beautiful parks to explore and the waterfront is magnificent and really the weather is just hitting the sweet spot, I really think. And so is the entertainment and everything else that the city has to offer. So go out, get in the middle of it and enjoy. But I know that all of us have our little guilty pleasures, and perhaps your new guilty pleasure of the summer indoors might be watching Bravo's new reality show, Dallas Most Eligible. And this show has a little something for everybody, because let me tell you, the drama is bigger in Texas, folks. It really is. I mean, Texans are just their own little corner of the world. They really, really are. And I had the opportunity to talk with Drew Ginsburg of this new series. He's openly gay. He's representing the GLBT community on Bravo in Most Eligible Dallas. And this is all, I think, think like The Real Housewives of Dallas, but it's men and women. And they're all in a certain age range, because they're all single young people in their 20s who are looking for love in all the wrong places or looking for love. So check that out. The series starts Monday, August 15th, but with Bravo, you know, things run in repetition. So that's really, really cool. Don't miss it. And I've watched the pilot episode and it's engrossing for sure. You will definitely be captivated. And Bravo does it the best. Nobody does it better than Bravo with that kind of reality television programming. So Drew's on the show from the new Bravo Hits Bravo series. We'll see if it's going to be a hit and if they'll be picked up again after they get through this season. Also, a movie review from Richard Knight Jr. of a movie that I am anticipating seeing. I haven't been in the movie theater a lot this summer, and I don't know if that's because the movies haven't been that enticing, although I do have a couple that I would like to see. I still need to see Harry Potter, and I want to see the new Steve Carell movie with Julianne Moore, because I love the Julianne Moore. But I'm very eager and nervous about seeing The Help, the Catherine Stockett novel written about a young, ambitious woman in the civil rights era of Mississippi, and her relationships and her uncovering the stories of The Help, meaning the black women of Mississippi who helped run the homes and were the help. And this book took off. I read a review of it right when it came out and bought the book and bought my mother a copy of the book and bought a couple of friends the copy of the book. I believe it's the book I've given out the most in the past few years. And I love the book, so I'm nervous about the movie. Richard Knight Jr. is going to guide us with a review and tell me, should I be nervous or is it a great movie or do I want to run out and go see it? Kirk and I have a lot of news to tell you about. Many, many interesting stories. It definitely is not slowing down. And even though we don't really talk as much about what's going on with the economic crisis in the U.S., there's plenty of other things for us to talk about that is focused on GLBT news. So I'm so glad you're with me. Sit back, enjoy the show, and it's a big one.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is the Week in News. In San Francisco, gay couple Bradford Wells and Anthony John Mack, who have been together for 20 years and are married, have been told that one must leave the country by August 25th. Wells has serious AIDS-related problems, and Mack, an Australian, is his caregiver. However, since their marriage isn't recognized federally, Mack has been denied permission to remain in the United States.
Equality Michigan is pushing for the state's hate crime laws to include sexual orientation and gender identity. Equality Michigan received 132 reports of violence against LGBT residents in 2010.
In Wisconsin, Marquette University has rescinded suspending a group that dismissed one of its officers after he said he is gay. The school initially suspended the InterVarsity Christian Fellowship chapter, which described itself as a student-led interdenominational Christian organization. However, after InterVarsity appealed the suspension, the chapter was placed on a year's probation.
In Texas, same-sex couple Eric V. Culbertson and David W. Carlson have pledged $2 million to Resource Center Dallas. The money will be used to help pay for construction of a new building that would consolidate programs and double the agency's space. Cox said that the center has already raised 30% of the $12 million needed for the new facility.
Gilead Sciences announced that the U.S. FDA has approved Complera, a complete single-tablet regimen for the treatment of HIV infection in adult patients new to therapy. Complera combines three antiretroviral medications in one daily tablet. Complera's approval comes just after the release of new information about the impact of HIV in the United States. Last week, the CDC reported that around 50,000 new HIV cases continue to occur in the country every year, and men who have sex with men continue to be the group most highly impacted by the epidemic.
Starbucks founder and CEO Howard Schultz has canceled an appearance at South Barrington, Illinois' Willow Creek Community Church after an online petition asked him to criticize the church associated with conversion therapy. Schultz was slated to deliver a talk entitled How Starbucks Fought for Its Life Without Losing Its Soul at a leadership summit. The church was once linked with Exodus International, which teaches that homosexuality can be cured, but ended the association in 2009.
In Minnesota, the Anoka Hennepin School District is facing yet another lawsuit over alleged bullying of a student regarding sexual orientation and gender identity. The lawsuit claims that a 15-year-old student at Jackson Middle School was a victim of verbal harassment and physical assault when she started attending school there in September of 2010. Over the last 2 years, 9 students in the district have committed suicide. Several were gay.
Tennessee Governor Bill Haslam said that the Don't Say Gay bill, which bans any mention of homosexuality in the state's elementary and middle schools, probably won't pass. Haslam said the Don't Say Gay bill didn't pass and probably is never going to pass. And at the same time, we hired Chris Barbic to run the Achievement School District, which is a huge deal. Don't Say Gay is real sexy and yada, yada, yada. It's not going anywhere.
In California, Oakland musicians Brontez Prevel and Adele Castellon, both members of the band Younger Lovers, were allegedly gay-bashed outside of a club. The musicians were at Club Paradiso when two men approached them. They then shouted gay slurs and said that if they were in Jamaica, they'd be dead before attacking. Purnell, who was featured in a portrait series for San Francisco Pride, identifies as gay. Castellon, who reportedly suffered facial fractures, is heterosexual.
In Florida, a gay Naples couple has settled a lawsuit alleging they were fired from a local restaurant because they were HIV positive. John Timothy Robertson, age 29, and his partner Stephen Ray Forrest Chaplin, 36, can't comment on the settlement with Ridgeway Bar and Grill. However, they used the money to relocate.
In world news, in Australia, Finance Minister Penny Wong, the first out gay member of the federal cabinet, said that she and partner Sophie Aluash are expecting a child. Aluash is expected to give birth to the baby conceived through in vitro fertilization in December.
In Taiwan, approximately 60 lesbian couples will marry in Taipei later this month in an event inspired by New York's marriage equality law. About 1,000 people have bought tickets for the private event. Although same-sex marriage is not legal in Taiwan, event organizers are not expecting a crackdown.
In England, Simon Hughes, the bisexual deputy leader of the Liberal Democrats, plans to sue News International as part of the phone hacking scandal that led News of the World to cease publication. Glenn Mulcair, the private investigator hired by the paper, has already pled guilty to hacking into Hughes' messages in 2006. Hughes was forced out of the closet as bisexual by the News of the World's sister newspaper, The Sun, responding to claims to be made by the newspaper that he had used a gay phone chat service.
Rudolf Brazda, believed to be the oldest known gay survivor of a Nazi concentration camp, died August 3rd at the age of 98. The Nazi regime under Adolf Hitler viewed homosexuality as an aberration and a threat to the Aryan race. More than 50,000 homosexuals were convicted as criminals during the Nazi reign. Brazda came out as a gay survivor in 2008 when a monument dedicated to the thousands of gays persecuted by Nazis was revealed in Berlin.
In entertainment news, there has been a settlement in the case of gay couple Ari Gold and Timothy Nelson, who were told to move to the back of a New York Short Line bus because they were holding hands. Gold, a well-known singer, and Nelson refused to move, so the bus driver called authorities, who told the driver the couple broke no laws. After Lambda Legal issued a threatening letter, the driver was disciplined, an apology has been issued, and all the company's drivers will take sensitivity classes.
Frances Bean Cobain, the daughter of singer-actress Courtney Love and the late Kurt Cobain, has revealed a tattoo of gay pioneer Quentin Crisp on her back. In a photo shoot by Hedy Silmain, Bean Cobain showed the tattoo of the queer activist raconteur under her right shoulder with the quote, "L'art est la solution au chaos." Art is the solution of chaos on it. Crisp, who was born in England, died in 1999 at the age of 90.
CBS has ordered a script from Sony Pictures Television for a possible reboot of Bewitched. Elizabeth Montgomery starred in the original TV series that ran from 1964 to 1972, and it featured two Darrens, Dick York and Dick Sargent.
Out Bravo Executive Vice President Andy Cohen has signed a book deal with publisher Henry Holt to release a memoir next year. The book will focus on Cohen's journey from being a closeted teenager in St. Louis to a television personality. It will also explore his obsession with pop culture.
Basketball player Cheryl Swoopes, who came out as a lesbian 6 years ago, is now engaged to a man. Swoops doesn't seem to be renouncing homosexuality or saying she wished she hadn't publicly come out as she did in 2005.
Prince paid homage to the late singer Amy Winehouse during his headlining performance at the Sziget Festival in Budapest, Hungary recently. During his encores, he said, "Amy, this is for you," and sang his 1995 single Gold. Prince performed with Winehouse in 2007 at an after party following one of his London O2 Arena shows. He talked about how much he loved Winehouse's song, Love is a Losing Game.
George Michael has revealed more details of his upcoming Gay album. The singer said, "It'll be a mixture of tracks sung by me and others by great young gay artists, possibly unknown ones." The out singer added, "I'll be 48 when the album comes out, but I have to say that gay men's relationship with death music probably doesn't end at the same time as straight people's does."
And HBO has renewed the pansexual show True Blood for a fifth season. The network has ordered 12 episodes of the series. The fifth season will air in 2012.
And that's the weekend news brought to you by Windy City Times.
Is it always right to pursue these feelings?
Hey, this is Ari Gold, and you're listening to the Windy City Queercast.
And I know that I've been down this road before.
I'm Richard Knight Jr., and here's your Net at the Movies Mega Minute. The Help is another one of those deep sound, fried chicken, hymn singing, dappled sunset, inspirational homilies galore, emotionally charged sisters under the skin kind of movies, which hold me emotionally in their firm but phony grasp. It's based on the mega bestseller by Catherine Stockett, whose gay lifelong friend, Tate Taylor, has adapted and directed it. We are back in true sisterhood genre territory once again. It's the early 60s in the Deep South, and ugly racism is rampant and civil rights is just taking hold. The story focuses on the simmering divide between the African-American maids, headed by Viola Davis as the quiet taciturn Abilene and Octavia Spencer as her sassy best friend Minnie, and their white employers, the quote-unquote polite upper crust of Mississippi. A young spitfire named nicknamed Skeeter, played by the ginger-haired Emma Stone, is recording the lives of the maids anonymously with the hopes of publishing a bestseller and heading for a new life in the big city. But it's not long before all hell breaks loose, thanks to a defining incident in which a fed-up Minnie has fed her horrid, bigoted employer a tempting pie that's actually made with her own excrement. Ooh, yummy. When this becomes an open secret, the housewives and maids take sides, but not before the director makes sure that his actresses repeatedly and delightfully pronounce the word shit. This anachronism, considering the time, place, and culture, is such an example of pandering to the audience that it had the effect of throwing me out of the picture each time it was uttered. Then, slowly, thanks to the expert cast, which includes Sissy Spacek, the movie got back on track and these powerhouse women helped steer the Help emotionally home just as I hoped they would. Inside the darkened theater, as many of the patrons dabbed at their teary eyes with Kleenex, the sun was setting, the crickets were chirping, and the chicken was sizzling in the pan. Far off in the distance, I knew I was being conned, held a passionate prisoner, suckered in once more. And, just like when I watch Crimes of the Divine Secrets of the IHOP Fried Screen and Prickly Purple Colored Steel Tomato Magnolia Beekeeper Sisters for the 199th time, I didn't give a shit. I'm Richard Knight Jr., and that's your Night at the Movies Mega Minute.
Anyone out there? Bueller? Bueller? Post a comment at WindyCityQueercast.com.
You are the one who told me to let go of my fear.
is a sexy new show that's going to be heating up televisions this summer. Most Eligible Dallas is a new Bravo series that brings the brightest lone stars in the state to the screen. Six single and attractive Dallas socialites invite us into their lives and love affairs each week. Some are seeking love, some seeking fun, but drama is guaranteed. Among the posse is Drew Ginsburg, a successful gay man with a big life and a big family name. And we're so excited to have him representing all of us on the TV. So, hey, Drew, how are you?
I'm doing well, and you?
I'm great. So now, I get confused with Texans all the time, so I take that as a compliment. Are you a dyed-in-the-wool Texan? I mean, were you born in Dallas?
No, I wasn't born in Dallas. I guess what they like to call I'm a TT or a Texas transplant.
Okay. Where were you born?
I was born in Washington, D.C.,
okay.
And I came to Dallas at 5 years old.
So you've been there most of your life.
Right. I left at 19 to go to college, and I came back at 26.
Yeah. So. Now, you work in your family business. It's very clear from the first episode that you have a name that permeates around Dallas. What's the family biz?
The family business is we are in the auto business. We have about 10 dealerships. Eight of them are in Dallas, and two of them are actually in San Francisco.
Wow! So, and it's some high end stuff that you're dealing with. Tell us about what kind of cars.
It's not all high end. It's everything. We start off with a Volkswagen,
yep,
and we go all the way up to Ferrari, which is considered the creme of automotive sports cars.
And really, gasoline and oil runs through your veins is what I see from the show. I mean, you are a car enthusiast.
Oh, well, I mean, it's not only gasoline, but it's any type of car that kind of gets me excited. I'm really more excited about what the future is going to bring, actually, in terms of electric cars and different types of platforms.
Yeah.
So I'm dying to have an electric car, but my manufacturers haven't offered one yet.
Yeah. Now, how many cars do you personally have, or can you drive anything off the lot?
Well, I wish I could drive anything off the lot, but, you know, some of the cars need to stay in the lot because no one likes a Ferrari, a 911 or a Ferrari just kind of need to sit there until someone buys it because they're very mileage-intensive cars. But I have driven those cars. I personally have a brand new 2012 Audi A6 supercharged, and that's my dealer car, and my own private car is a 2009 Porsche Cayman S, which I lovingly call Isabella because she's a white car. She makes a couple appearances on the show. I will tell you that.
Oh good. So when you have a family, I mean, anyone who knows, no matter where you're listening to this podcast, you know kind of the family name attached to dealerships. So your name has clout and your family has clout. So how was that when you came out, and what age did you come out? Because I know it's tough to come out in the South. It was tough for me.
Well, I came out in when I lived in California.
Okay.
I came out about basically 5 years ago. Came out 5 years ago, so that would make me 24 when I came out. And it was very interesting when I came out. I prepared for the worst, and all I got was love and acceptance.
Mm.
And actually a more protective family. They were more worried about harm being done to me, I guess, because they were just that loving and were that close-knit of family. They were more worried about me getting hurt or someone hurting me than anything else.
Yeah. Now, you had an enormous transformation physically, and I don't know if that had anything to do with coming out and coming to terms with that. I know sometimes that can be a point, but you had an enormous amount of weight loss. How much weight did you lose?
Over 210 pounds now.
Wow. And over how long did that take?
That took over 10 years to do, and it was a constant on and off struggle.
Yeah.
Like I would get to the weight where I felt it was happy with, and then I would get complacent and I put it back on. But now I've been able to maintain my weight for about a year now below 240 pounds.
Wow, congratulations, because that's really huge. Do you think that, I mean, I don't want to go all Oprah on you, but I am from Chicago. So, I mean, was kind of your sexuality, you think, tied to the weight and maturing and becoming more confident? Because we see a really confident man, you know, in this series.
I mean, I will tell you right now, a lot of it came with, you know, probably a little bit of the pressure of the gay world. And then secondly, I think, secondly, throughout the show, what you're witnessing is actually me coming into my own skin for really the first time in my own life and feeling confident and collective and happy with myself. And it's kind of one of those things where I have never experienced that, and it's one of those things where just fates collide, and it happens on camera.
Yeah. What a beautiful way to archive that moment of really having the full transformation kind of lock in, which is...
Well, and the funniest thing is some people will ask me why I did a reality show, and I'm going to tell you this in case you don't get to this question, but I did it because I'm turning 30 in September.
Mm-hmm. Oh, September what?
10th. I'm a Virgo.
Okay, I'm 24th, Libra. We're still in the same month, though.
Yeah, the funniest thing, my sister is 2 years. We're 2 years, 10 days apart.
Oh wow!
So it's like, okay, why not document the last couple of months of my 20s?
Mm-hmm.
So that was my original mindset.
Yeah.
Everything else that has happened has been literally, I'm pinching myself every day.
Yeah. So tell me the gang that we're going to meet on the show. And I've only gotten to watch the first episode, which is starting here this coming week of August the 15th. That's the first week the first episode will start airing. But were you all friends? I mean, this group of people, this is not forced together. You all know each other, or Dallas is just that small.
I knew everyone socially and kind of more intimately. I knew Tara and Glenn more intimately than I knew, and I knew Matt a little bit. But everyone had known each other, had met each other, had dinner with each other in some time in the last 3 to 5 years with me. At least. So I had know them all. It was kind of shocking that when I walked into the group casting, they were there. So it was kind of like we really are friends, and we really do have a social life together, all of us do. We do cross paths. We did cross paths at least once or twice a month with each other. Did.
Yeah. But Tara's your closest friend in the gang, or was going into this?
Yeah, Tara was the closest friend in the gang, and she's my sweetheart, and she's my big sister, and I love her to death.
Now, tell us who some of the gang is, just to get a little bit of an overview. I mean, you just described Tara a little bit. She's like a really close friend of yours, sweet. She's looking for love.
Yeah, Tara's a sweetheart. She's probably one of the most giving women I've ever met in Dallas. She loves her couture. But at the same time, she's not afraid to get dirty and rescue a dog.
She is avid, right? I mean, she's passionate about protection and rights and caring for animals.
She is so avid about it and doing the right thing. She and I got into an argument because I haven't checked my dog last week.
That's good. At least I'm sure you've had it spayed or neutered, and she probably made sure you did that too. Now I noticed from the first episode that Courtney and Matt, it's just going to be, are they going to sleep together or not? That's going to be the series. I can tell you that. Tell us about Courtney and Matt.
Courtney is works in the sunglass retail, and Courtney is a very kind of unique individual. She loves her. She's very passionate. I would say she's more passionate about Texas than anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
And I just have this, and those two are unique individuals. Matt, I've known socially through many different friends for a long time.
Yeah. Matt's the guy that walks in with a lot of girls on his arm, right?
Yeah. I've never seen Matt with more than one girl twice.
Yeah. Okay, that tells us a lot. However, that Neil is an old friend of his, a single mom, and she comes to town and kind of immediately infiltrates your gang, right?
I mean, Matt introduced us to Neil, And it was kind of an interesting play. I mean, I didn't know who she was. Mm-hmm. I mean, for my first response was, okay, it's just one of Matt's girls he's always with.
Yeah.
So, that was my first response. I didn't know she was going to be part of our gang.
Yeah. But the show kind of at least indicates that there's maybe more there than people are giving her credit, or maybe that Courtney's giving her credit. Now, you mentioned Glenn was somebody that you were friends with as well. Glenn is a professional athlete. And tell me about Glenn.
Well, Glenn's interesting because Glenn literally, like, breaks almost all stereotypes you have about professional athletes, in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
He totally is a very loving and protective and a sweetheart of a guy.
Mm.
I can tell you right now, Glenn is like literally like a sweetheart of a guy, very metrosexual. Glenn's actually very protective of me. It's surprising or not. I mean, Glenn's probably one of the biggest supporters of gays I've ever met in my life. It's never like an issue. It's like, what can I do to help you and stand up? I'm like, whoa, calm down, Narak. I mean, kill your jet turbo sometimes. I mean, Glenn's just a great guy. Like, I'll see Glenn out all the time, and even before the show, I will be in a nightclub or in a bar, and Glenn's like right behind me, and I literally will get picked up and bear hugged, like in the air. And that's how sweet of a guy Glenn is. Like, I'll see Glenn, and we'll start running to each other like we're best friends. I mean, it's kind of like people look at us, okay, what's the queer doing with the straight guy? This is kind of odd.
With the jock. You got to love it. So now you've said why you did the series. But, you know, and I said early in my introduction that some people are. Courtney wants the husband. She wants the kids. She wants to find love. So she says, you know, some people, Glenn, you know, indicates, I don't want to date. You know, I got out of a relationship, or I don't want to be in a relationship. I got out of one. Where do you fall in that mix? I hear that you had a relationship that ended prior to the series. Is that correct?
Yeah, I had come out of a relationship right on New Year's Eve.
Okay.
And it was someone that I loved dearly and all that stuff, but they kind of show back up later on during the filming of the show.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see if you find love or who finds love and all the drama that ensues with your gang. And I can't wait to see if there'll be maybe a season two.
Well, let's just get through season one. I'll tell you right now, some people talk about season two and all this stuff. I'm just focused on what's happening right now.
Excellent. Well, so, we are going to be watching. We're going to be watching what's happening right now, and we're in the middle of it. Guys, the drama is bigger in Texas, I tell you. And it's from the network who knows how to do reality. Monday nights at 9 o'clock Central Standard Time on Bravo, starting this week, the week of Monday, August 15th. Don't miss Most Eligible Dallas, and check out our new friend Drew. Drew, thanks so much.
You all have a good day.
Something to say? Call us today. 312-21-BE-GAY. Well, everybody, things are bigger in Texas, and things are bigger in the gay community. We just have an opportunity to have a big, big life here in the Windy City and in the GLBT community. So if you're not from here and you listen to the show, definitely come and visit, because I can tell you, I just had friends in town, and I had my brother in town, and I've had a lot of company the past couple of months, and it's been so great. What a great city in which to just go out with friends and family and experience and share, there's just no place like it. I'm having a little bit of a love affair this week with Chicago, as you can tell, but that's a pretty much a love affair that's lasted for 15 years, so it's my longest term relationship, folks. Anyhow, hope you have a great, great week. Coming up, Del Shores. He is the writer and creator and director of Sordid Lives. You may know the movie, or you know the play, or you know the logo television series of Sordid Lives. Well, He is coming to town, and I have him on the show next week to talk about his stand-up one-man show that's going to be at Mary's Attic. And I love Del Shores, so I am really, really looking forward to that. Plus, in upcoming weeks, we are finally going to talk about the Lakeview controversy, everything that's been going on in Boys Town with one of our Windy City Times reporters, Kate Sosin. So more stories coming up, more movie reviews from Richard Knight Jr., and summer is still with us. Have the hope that summer is not over after market days. The gays can continue on. And what to do. Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast, queer and now.